Welcome to the Vero Yehud Essene Scripture Forum. Controversial issues? You bet. Straight answers? Of course. Truth? You be the judge. Or you're welcome to participate. Shabbat afternoons at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Log in at www.theyehud.com. See you there.
Well, welcome to Controversial Forums here from the Yehud, and we've got Joseph Dumond on again, and I believe that he's going to be discussing 2300 Days in Hell. He's got a good screen for us to take a look at some illustrations and so forth. This video we did last time was very popular, got a lot of views on YouTube and a lot of listens on the podcasting. So I hope you enjoy it. If you have a question, you can get a hold of Joe personally, or you can always write to www.yehud.me, and I'll pass it on. All right, Joe.
So, Jackson, how far did you get in the book I sent you? Were you able to read it?
No. I didn't get very far at all. Just you explain it, then I'll read it.
We did this a little bit last time, so...
I'm not going to ask a bunch of questions this time, right?
But you need to ask questions.
Okay, I'll shut up.
The 2300 Days of Hell is, it's a days of hell, not the days in hell. The book that I wrote explaining the Daniel 9, 24 to 27 prophecy. And what I'm saying is that the 70 weeks of Daniel is not understandable, which is why we have all these different Christians thinking that it's about Yeshua, but it's not understandable unless you first understand the sabbatical and jubilee cycles. So that's the premise. That's the basic understanding.
Yeah, we decided last time that, in fact, we were talking about it here yesterday, that there's no reason to doubt that that's correct. I mean, you've got the references, you've gone back into history, you've done your counting. No reason to doubt that at all.
The what? The Jubilee cycles?
That's what I'm talking about, yeah.
Okay. So if you know that, and you know Genesis 6:3 is talking about 120 Jubilee cycles, then you have to do the chronology. It's important to do the chronology. Again, if you don't do that chronology, Daniel 9 is going to be still a guessing thing. What we did was we did the chronology, and we started with Adam, the creation of Adam. We followed the chronology all the way through Genesis up until they enter the promised land, 40 years after the Exodus. And that year turned out to be the year 2500 after the creation of Adam. Then we had to match that with our current Gregorian calendar.
Tough.
Very tough. It's very simple, though. Looking back, it's simple. When you're standing there trying to figure it out, it's tough, yes. We know in 2 Kings 19:29, so this is for you to understand how to do this. In 2 Kings 19:29, we're told about the Jubilee year. And that happens to be at a time that is the most undisputed date in history among chronologists, which is 701 BC. So that was the 49th year when Sennacherib comes against Hezekiah in 2 Kings 19:29. This year you shall eat what grows of itself. Next year you shall eat of the same. And in the third year you shall plant and sow and harvest. So that's the 49th year, 701, and the 50th year, 700. With that alone, you can determine every sabbatical year just by counting by seven, going forward and backward forever, either way. And by counting by 49 from the year 700, you can hit every Jubilee year going forward and backward forever.
Sure.
Okay, so that's very simple. The trouble is, it doesn't tell you where we are. Are we in the 10th Jubilee since the creation? Are we in the 150th Jubilee since the creation? We just don't know. But so here's the thing that I came to understand was that Leviticus 25:2 was also talking about a Jubilee year. Now, I'm going to open that up. Let's go there and read it because this is another important verse. Leviticus 25:2. We'll start in verse 1. And the Lord said to Moses on Mount Sinai, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, then the land shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord. Verse 3 says, 6 years you shall sow your field. So it's telling you that the year they enter the promised land is going to be a land rest year. Then it tells you, start counting from there, 6 years. So most people take that and they go 50. Well, okay, if they're doing the Jubilee, they go 50, then 1, 2, 3. But history does not record that. The Bar Kokhba revolt, we have 12 contracts that have survived that time period, actually show you that they are keeping 5 years that they're going to pay rent for.
Well, this is in the Cave of the Letters?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So there are 12 letters there that survived, and they indicate that they are going to pay rent for 5 years instead of 6 years. And this is because the 50th year is also the first year, which is a phenomenal thing to understand. Again, that only makes sense once you've done the chronology.
Yeah. I see now.
Oh.
The 50th year is the first year. That's from the Leviticus passage.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, I love it when I see a light bulb go off.
Yeah. The light bulb came on all right. Now, let's see what happens the rest of the time.
Okay. So now I believe you and I have differences on Shavuot. So that's the other example I use, that the 50th day is on the first day of the week. Therefore, the first day of the week is counted as one and not 50. And you don't start the first day on, say, the Monday. Right?
I'm just going by the Dead Sea Scrolls. I don't know anything about this.
Yeah. I understand. So we do have our differences, and I'm going to mention them when I have to. I'm not trying to bring them up to stir up the pot. But the Shavuot being on the 50th day on the first day of the week is another example of the Jubilee year being the first year in the count of the next cycle. So those Dead Sea Scrolls letters in the cave about the 12 contracts during the Bar Kokhba revolt show you that they rented the land for 5 years, starting in year 2 to year 6.
Can you clarify one thing first?
Yes, sir.
If you take from our pagan days of the week and tell us what day that your Shavuot is on.
Sunday.
Okay.
That's the first day.
And you've got the Detox Whisperer on here, too, who's written a book about calendar. So he might want to chime in if you don't mind once in a while, because we're really trying to understand this.
Yeah, we can go over that to the calendar issue and talk about that if you want, as long as it's reasonable and no fighting. I don't mind doing that at all.
I just want Heston to be vocal if need be, instead of sitting back with his new hair.
Right? Yeah. Can you hear me okay? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So no, I'm sorry. I appreciate the speaker and his study. In going back to the Hebrew. In Leviticus 23, verse 11, where we all see in our translations the morrow after the Sabbath, if you go back to the Hebrew, it's Marat Shabbat. And the word Marat is actually morning or next morning Sabbath. So it's the morning of the next Sabbath, because now the Hebrews had brought their lambs for inspection on the 10th of the first month, right, the day of the choosing of the lamb. And that was then presented before the priest. And then the following Sabbath, or the next Sabbath morning, that lamb was sacrificed. Now, if you go to, and so consequently, our starting point of the count for the 50 starts on that Sabbath. And so if we go to verse 15 and 16, both of those verses, which again have this word after in there, the translators had added the word after. And unfortunately, they did not italicize it like they normally would do that, right? When they're supplying a word. And this is basically to back up the false narrative in the New Testament to make it look like Messiah had raised from the dead on Sunday. So this it all comes down to this controversy of Sunday versus Sabbath. And so even the rabbis today talk about this Sunday thing, but they're consigned to their own ordination, which we know is rabbinic, you know, rabbinical. What's the heritage that the rabbinics have? Pharisaism. And Yeshua is always correcting the Pharisees. And so they're basically consigned to take that same tradition and continue it on, because there was no such thing as a Pharisee prior to the Babylonian captivity. And so basically all the Judeans, all the Levites that were taken captive and were instructed by the Babylonian priests to follow their timekeeping, i.e. lunar calendar, Sunday, the whole thing.
Well, those Pharisees came out of Persia, Farsi, you know, so they brought a lot from foreign perspective.
Right. Anyways, so here I am introducing a paradigm shift for a lot of people. But I would challenge you to go back to the Hebrew and check that out. If you look up in your Strong's Concordance and you look up the word after, and you go to Leviticus 23, verses 11, 15, and 16, and you'll find that that word is not there. It'll say N-I-H, or it'll have an asterisk, basically saying that it's not within the content, it's not in the text.
Does that have a bearing here?
Absolutely. So what we're doing is we're counting from Sabbath to Sabbath to Sabbath to Sabbath to Sabbath for seven Sabbaths, so that the 50th day is a Sabbath. That's why it says in the text, in the Hebrew, seven perfect Sabbaths for Shavuot. You know, King James says seventh Sabbath shall be complete, but the actual translation from the Hebrew is seven perfect Sabbaths.
I'm looking at the Hebrew here. The next day in Leviticus 23:11 is Eparion. I'm not sure if I'm saying it correctly. And it means, according to what I have here, on the morrow, the next day.
Right. Now, I'll tell you that. Hang on.
If that's right, then the morrow, the next day, is the day after the Sabbath.
But that's incorrect, though. So, hang on.
You can't have it right and wrong at the same time.
So that's right. Yeah, okay. So I misconstrued by saying yes. In other words, that's what the translators say. I was agreeing with you. That's what the translators say. But what it actually says, now I'm going to turn back to Leviticus 23. Now I have a J.P. Green Interlinear Bible. This is copyright. I think this is 1985.
That's a literal Bible.
This is an older one.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize. I was using the Greek. I'm sorry.
I was
in the wrong term. I was using Greek.
Yeah, so I thought I heard Greek. You said kata something there.
I did. It didn't look right to me, but now, okay, I'm back in the Hebrew. Sorry, my bad.
That's
Mokarath is the word, the morrow, the day after.
Right. So if we go to, all right, tell you what, if we go to our Strong's, now that's Mem, Mem, Chet, Resh, Tav. If we go to our Strong's Concordance, and again, I have an older Strong's here. The older Strong's seems to have retained a little bit more information in the index definitions than some of the newer ones. So if
you
I
have
go,
two mems there to start with?
I'm sorry?
You said you had two mems to start the word?
Yeah, right. The first mem is a prefix.
Okay.
And that refers to from or to. So I'm looking up that word. Yeah, so that's 4283, if that's, 4283.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sorry. Let me go back into the main concordance here. So now, I don't know if I can hold this up to my camera, whether you can see it or not, but I'll try it. Let's see. So that's, I'm looking up the word. Yeah, I'm looking up the word after. Well, I'm glad I joined you guys this morning. Wow. Didn't know you were
going to. The word 4283 here, Mokarathom, and it's the morrow or the morrow the next day.
Right. So if I, let's see, Leviticus 23, where is it? Oh, there it is. Now, for some reason, this particular one does not list Leviticus 23:11, but it does have 23:15 and 16. I'm going to try and put this up here and see if it comes in focus at all. It's a little... I don't know if unorthodox is the right word. Is that showing up at all? Let's see, my light's in the way.
You have to hold it steady.
Yeah, that's right. I may not be able to do that. Right? There it is. It's right at the bottom of the page. Right?
Hold it steady.
It might even be backwards. Is it backwards?
No.
I can't see that right there. Oh, yeah. You see the spaces right there on the column?
Yeah.
There's no numbers listed there at all. And so... And so now what's interesting, now you can compare that to a strongest Strong's. You guys are familiar with the strongest Strong's, right? That concordance that came out maybe 15, 20 years ago. Well, that particular Strong's actually lists the number of times each word is translated to its given definition. And the word morrow after is only found and listed three times. Well, guess where they're found? They're found in Leviticus 23, 11, 15, and 16. Now, if you go ahead and you compare all the jots and tittles, if you will, in other words, all the vowel points, and compare that with all the other words, it'll just say morrow. So why can't I substitute the morrow from this word over here with all the same jots and tittles and put that in there? I should have the same thing. And so the point is the word after is not supposed to be there. And so consequently, when verse 16 says seven Sabbaths shall be complete, or seven perfect Sabbaths is what it actually says in the interlinear, you can't have seven perfect Sabbaths if you're counting Sunday to Sunday to Sunday to Sunday. It says you're counting seven Sabbaths, but it's seven perfect Sabbaths. And so the way to do that...
Where are you getting this word perfect? I don't see it here in the
translation. Okay. In my Green's interlinear, it actually says seven perfect Sabbaths in verse 16. Let me go back to that.
It might be a difference between the translation of the Masoretic and the Qumran Bible, too.
There could be something that, yeah, that might be.
Masoretic text is really not
perfect.
Good.
Perfect is just another translation of a word for complete.
Okay, well, that would be fine. I'm okay with that. Okay, but at the
so
same
it's seven time. Complete Sabbaths.
Okay.
So well, if Jackson told me, Joe, we're going to have this interview on the morrow of the Sabbath, when would I show up?
Yeah, so because
well, answer the question, when would I show up?
Saturday morning
on the morrow of the Sabbath.
Yeah, so Maroth Shabbat, that's morning Sabbath.
No, that's morrow, not morning, it's morrow.
Yeah, okay. So if you look at a
but you're not answering my question.
Yeah, if you go to an Oxford English Dictionary, which gives us the etymology of the words, right, and I look up the word morrow, not tomorrow. Okay,
that's an English tomorrow. Word for a Hebrew word.
Okay, but if are you talking about Maroth?
I told you to Makorotham Shabbat.
Yeah, that means morning Sabbath.
I'm sorry, but my translation says it means the morrow after the Sabbath.
That's what your translation says. You need to go. You need to do. Okay, so Joe, you need to do a comparison.
Hang on. When I go and look at the rest of the Bible,
yeah,
and I look at when the Messiah came out of the grave.
Right.
He came out of the grave on the Sabbath. On the morrow after the Sabbath, he was the wave offering.
Yeah.
He wasn't the wave offering on the Sabbath.
Okay.
So
well,
the Sabbath is made on the morrow after the Sabbath. That's the first part of Leviticus 23, 11.
Yeah.
Make
well,
the
see,
wave
this,
offering
this is the foundation.
The
this is the foundation of this millennial problem between Sunday and Sabbath. All those people that say, well, Sunday is the Sabbath. Excuse me, it is not. See, Constantine had allowed all this stuff.
We're not talking about which day is the Sabbath. We're talking about what is the Feast of Shavuot.
Right. But see, this is all relevant to the fact that there's purposeful mistranslations into all the other languages other than what we have in the original documents, the original text.
That's so, why I don't use Strong's.
Yeah.
There's nothing strong about Strong's.
Well, I can understand that. But even with Strong's, we can still get to the bottom of things. I recognize that there's probably other, you know, that's why we need to use multiple counsels, right? Safety in a multitude of counselors. So the more references we can use, the more witnesses we're going to have toward the truth.
All right. Let's leave it at that for the time being.
Yeah.
So we could go on.
Jack, let me just add one more point to that. So consequently, if we go back to the New Testament and all four Gospels, we read in our translation the first day of the week. But that's not what it says, even in the Greek.
It says, coming toward.
Yeah. Right. So as it began to dawn toward the Mia Sabbaton,
yeah,
which is the Sabbath. And so Yeshua had fulfilled the Sabbath exactly what it was supposed to be, because the wave sheet was originally supposed to be done on the morning of the Sabbath. And if you look at the meaning of Sabbath, what the word Shen, Beit, Tav in that sequential order, what that actually means to the Hebrew, that adds to this argument that I'm talking about. But I'll leave it at that.
Very good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's the first time I've heard that the Wave Sheaf was done on the Sabbath, and the Pentecost is on the Sabbath. So that's interesting. I strongly disagree. And the Jubilee cycles will add to my proof, because you're going to say, if using your example, you would say that the Jubilee year was also in the 49th year.
Right. So if you look at Leviticus
is on the 50th year.
Yeah, Leviticus 25, it says you're supposed to blow the trump of the Jubilee on the 10th of the 7th month in the 49th year.
No, it's right. In the 50th year.
No, it says, no. You're supposed to blow it on the 10th of the 7th month in the 49th year to hallow the 50th year, it says.
It's done in the 50th year.
It's blown in the 49th year to hallow the 50th year.
Again, we disagree.
And so what that actually, you want me to, I can read it to you.
I have read it. You don't
need we don't doubt you, but it's going to take some more looking at.
Okay, well, that's fine. I'll leave it alone if you guys don't want to go there, but I've said my piece on it.
Well, I'm looking at the Dead Sea Scrolls version here. So if we can go on, maybe we can get something from that.
So our example is that the 50th day is the first day of the week, or the 50th year is the first year in the count to the next Jubilee year. And that light went on for Jackson when we talked about the letters from the Dead Sea. So that was good. So we need to do this chronology. Now, you have to now match up Leviticus 25 with 2 Kings 19:29. And the only way to do that is like using a slide rule, where you have the Jubilee cycles on the bottom coming up to the year 2500, which is when they enter the land, Leviticus 25:2. And the Jubilee years on top of another slide rule until they match. And in that slide rule, you have to have only 120 Jubilee cycles. It's like a math equation. Now, until you actually do it, you're not going to understand this, because trying to do this in your head, it's impossible. You have to do it on paper, and you have to actually do the homework. So that's why I tell people, do the homework. Because then once you've done it, you can prove it. So then once you've lined up those two sabbatical or Jubilee years, you now have the entire chronology from Adam until the next Jubilee, which is the year 2045. And you also know that 2045, when you do this chronology, is the end of the 120th Jubilee, which also tells you that 1996 was the start of this 120th Jubilee cycle that we're in right now. So that is important to know. Now, when you have that matching up of those two Jubilee cycles and you go back to the Exodus, you will discover, and I'll just get out my charts here, the Exodus took place in the year 1379 BC. Some people want to say 1450, others want to say 1250, depending on which theory you're ascribing to. But you can prove from the Jubilee cycles that the Exodus is 1379 BC. That's important. Now, we got somebody else cheering in the background here somewhere.
Well, that's Regesh singing back there that you're hearing. I don't know what he's singing about.
He's probably still in the shower. He's late for the meeting.
He's here, anyway. But he's singing. I don't know why.
Okay, so now when we look at the Exodus date, the Exodus started, and this is my theory, and you don't have to agree with it, but I'm saying the Exodus started when Moses went to see Pharaoh 3 years before the Exodus. Now, some people believe that all the events, all the 10 curses took place in the months leading up to Passover. I believe it was up to 3 years before. You know, that's a whole other study that we can work on. Again, you have to get your chronology out and do a lot of digging.
Joe, I got a question. Going back to the earlier discussion, and you were talking about the king that came against Hezekiah. What was the name of that king? That was the Assyrian king. Is that correct? What was his name? Was that Shalmaneser?
I say Sennacherib.
Sennacherib. Okay. Go ahead.
I may not be saying it correctly, but that's the way my Canadian accent pronounces it.
Okay, cool.
You may contact us at Jackson Snyder Presents at this email address, veroyahad@gmail.com. That is VEROYAHAD @gmail.com. And let me remind you, you are listening to Jackson Snyder Presents with your host tonight, Bogdan G. Shrumkov. Thank you for listening. We'll be right back. Jackson Snyder Present is back. Join us now for more of this interesting discussion.
Are you looking him up to make sure what year he comes against Hezekiah?
I think you'll get a variation there.
Okay.
I don't think anybody really knows for sure.
Well, that is a undisputed date, so I don't think you should get very much variation, except from the fringes.
The fringes?
The fringe chronologists that are not respected by the...
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, the reason why I asked that question is because I've heard... wait a minute. Hold on. Okay, there you go. I've heard, is that the king that took the 10 tribes into captivity as well?
No, that was 100 years earlier.
Okay, that's okay. That's what I wanted to confirm because go ahead.
We're talking about 580 or 701 BC. No, not 100 years earlier, 701 BC. And this is the children of Israel is 723 BC. So that's 20 years earlier.
Okay.
So we have to know this chronology of when the Exodus took place, which was now you can count 50 Jubilee cycles completed, and then the Exodus takes place during that time. And the end of those 40 years is at the end of that next Jubilee cycle when they come into the Promised Land, which is 2,500 years after the creation of Adam. Okay, so that doesn't tell you if it's 49 or 50 years because, you know, the multiplication here, 2,500 by 50 works out to be 50. So we have to do some more research. And I have now got in my possession 89 sabbatical proofs or records from history, including artifacts and biblical scriptures to back up my position. If you take 2 Kings 19:29 and you only had that, you only have 2 Kings 19:29. Let's not use Leviticus 25:2 right now. And you start with 701 and you count by 7, you'll hit all these documents that I have that match it and prove it correct. If you then put in the 49 or the 50th year as 700, it matches with the 7, counting by 7. If you count by 50s, none of those sabbatical years that you count by 7 will line up with the 50th Jubilee. Does that make sense? I'm not sure if I'm explaining that correctly. Does that make sense? Nobody's answering me, so maybe I'm not making sense.
Yes, sir. Okay. It makes sense to me. Sorry.
You understood that? Okay, if you're putting you on the spot, explain it back to me. See if you can say it differently than what I did.
I'm not sure because I stink at math, but I was following you.
Okay. Let me try it again because I got confused when I was saying it. 2 Kings 19:29. 701 BC is the 49th year. 700 BC is the 50th year. So if you count by 50, that'd be 650, 600, 550, 500 would be Jubilee years. Okay, and then from each of those Jubilee years, you would go the year before would be the 49th, and then you'd count by 7. The trouble is, none of those, doing it that way, none of the sabbatical years line up with the documents that we have. Excuse me. None of the artifacts that we have. None. But if we count 701 BC and make the 50th year the first year, and then go forward throughout history doing it that way, then every 49 years of the Jubilee year, that matches every seventh sabbatical year. So it's like keeping the Sabbath. The Sabbath is every 7 days. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat. Then there's Passover. Then there's the first day of unleavened bread, seventh day of unleavened bread. Then there's Shavuot. We have a disagreement as to when that is here. Then we have trumpets, then we have atonement, then we have Sukkot, and then we have the eighth day. And the Sabbath doesn't stop and start at any of them. The Sabbath is always the seventh day, no matter what comes along. The same for the sabbatical years. Okay, so understanding that the 50th year is the first year.
That's right.
Again, we disagree about Shavuot.
Oh, that's right.
The 50th day is the first day. Okay, so once you understand that, you can put this chronology together of Leviticus 25:2, counting the sabbatical years from the creation of Adam to the end of the land, and then 2 Kings 19:29, using a slide rule to match those two up. And your parameters must be 120 Jubilee cycles, which is Genesis 6:3. Let's read it. Again, another important verse in this understanding. Genesis 6:3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. The word years there is shana. And the word shana can mean cycles of time. So Jehovah God is saying that it will be 120 cycles of time for man. Because none of you are living to be 120. I'm trying to, but the average age has never been that. As far back as I can tell, back in the 1500s, it was 40 and 50. Now we're up to 80. Before the flood, it was 900 years or 600 years. But if you average that all together, we still don't get 120. It's 120 cycles of time. It's 120 Jubilee cycles. Okay, so does anyone have any questions about anything I've said so far? Because this is your basic understanding that you have to have before you can go into Daniel. Nobody's putting their hands up. Nobody's talking. Jackson, how about you? You're the host here. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you get it?
Yeah, I do. I do. I'm just waiting to get to Daniel.
Okay. So
I'm not going to agree with you there, but I'm certainly interested in hearing how you see that prophecy.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I use Esort. I love Esort. And if I go, let's go to Daniel 9 now. And if you guys pull up Daniel 9 in your Strong or Esort or whatever you want to use, we're going to go Daniel 9 and we're going to go 24. Okay.
And you're in the King James Version?
What version you want to use? I don't care which version. I'm going to go to the Hebrew is what I'm going to do.
Okay.
Because the English version or whatever version you're using always has the word weeks.
The word what?
Weeks.
Weeks. Oh, yeah, right. Doesn't it say in the text sevens?
77s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think the word weeks is even in there. I think it's like 77 sevens.
Oh, really?
But then I don't have that Hebrew text before me, Daniel's written in three different languages, so who knows?
Okay. So my Brown River Briggs, H7620 is the word for weeks.
Okay.
And it's the word Shabuah.
Mm-hmm.
Shabuah.
Mm-hmm.
What does Shabuah mean?
Sevens. It means sevens.
Yeah, Shavuah.
Shabuah. What? Say it again.
The B's got a V sound there. Shavuah.
The B and V are interchangeable.
Yes, right.
Okay.
77 sevens. Is that what it says?
Didn't say 77 Shavuot. It says 70 Shabuah.
What verse is that? I'm looking at it now.
924.
Okay. It says, yes, there is a footnote in here, 70 footnote weeks, and the footnote is sevens. And so throughout the chapter, the word weeks is never in there.
What does sevens mean? Let's take out the word weeks. Let's just look at the word seven. What does sevens mean?
Well, there's a figurative idea of sevens is completion of anything or when something is fulfilled.
Keep going, Jackson. You're on the right track. Keep going. I'm gonna lead you along here. You're gonna answer your own question. You hate the way I teach here. I know, I understand that.
Yeah, it's not necessarily days. When it's put in that kind of context, readers in these days want to see weeks there, but it isn't necessarily that, especially in an apocalyptic text like this.
Well, hang on, it's not apocalyptic, it's talking about Yeshua.
Well, it's apocalyptic in that it is, if it is talking about Yeshua, and I would argue about that with you, but I'm not going to.
You don't have to argue, we agree, it's not talking about Yeshua.
No, it is not.
But Christianity believes it is.
Yes, definitely.
In fact, none of the apostles, nor did Yeshua, use this verse to say that he was the Messiah.
No.
Who's the first person to use this verse that's claimed to be the Messiah?
This does not pertain to the Messiah.
Right.
But it does. It says so there twice.
I see a prince, it says here.
Messiah the prince. And there's another Messiah there. But
I mean, who is the first? It does not pertain to Yeshua the Messiah, necessarily. It can be interpreted that way, and that's what I'm supposing you're going to do here.
No, I'm not going to do that. That's what Christianity has already done. Why do I need to reinterpret what they have already done?
Well, good. You don't.
No. I try and use the Hebrew as much as I can, even though I don't speak Hebrew. But who is the first person to use us for the Messiah?
Well, let's see. Jackson Snyder Presents is sponsored by Vero Essene Yahad, a biblical literature think tank headquartered in Vero Beach, Florida. Vero Yahad provides new translations, online seminars, rare books and research work connected with the Zadokite movement, the Dead Sea Scrolls, and the New Testament. Free lectures, lecture recordings, and literature are posted at www.veroyahad.org. That's VEROYAHAD.org. Contact me, your host, Jackson Snyder, by email at veroyahad@gmail.com, or catch us all on Facebook.
It's mentioned in the New Testament, definitely.
What?
Oh, I don't know. Who was
it? None of the apostles used this Daniel 9 to prove that Yeshua was the Messiah. None of them. So I'm asking who was the first one to do it. And the answer is Rabbi Akiva.
Of course. In 135 A.D.
133.
Okay, that's pretty close.
133.
For a man with Alzheimer's disease.
Yeah, but it's important to know that it's 133, because what was going on in 133?
The second Jewish revolt.
It was the start of it. And he called Simon Bar Kokhba the Messiah, the star of the morning, because it was 133 B.C. I mean, A.D. 133 A.D. It was the 49th year. What was the next year, 134, when those contracts in the Dead Sea Caves were saying, we're only going to have the land for 5 years?
It was That's very interesting.
It was a jubilee year when they couldn't plant during the first year of the count. And Messiah is Messiah, Simon Bar Kokhba. He's going to save us.
Yeah. And wasn't that actually printed on the coinage at that time?
Yes.
They actually put his name on there.
The Messiah, or the Morning Star. I forget what they did, but yes.
And they changed his name. They changed his name from Kokhba to Kokhba, Star, in order to prove that.
Yeah, what was the other thing? They changed his name from...
His name was Ben Kokhba, but Akiva changed his name to Ben Kokhba, the Star.
Okay, so now what's going on? We got a jubilee here coming up, and the Messiah is coming in the jubilee year. We have to get this Daniel 9 prophecy to fit him. So what are they
doing? We got another Masoret screwing up the scripture, in other words.
Well, he's taking the scripture and trying to apply it. In order to do that, he has to change the history of when the 490 years took place.
He changed the calendar by 240 years, right?
No, I don't want to go there because that, you
know. Okay.
But you're right, but not the 240-year part. He changed the date of the first destruction of the temple, and he shortened the period of the Persians in order to make that 490-year prophecy fit Simon Bar Kokhba.
So how many years? Do you have that in years?
I'm going to agree with you, 240, yes. But I got a huge but there, because there's a whole other side of the story with that.
Well, you find that in the Seder Hadorot, and whether that is right or not.
By Rabbi Yossi.
What if you add 240 years to the Jewish calendar, you get the same one as we have. Take 240 years off 2020.
Yeah, see, that's right. Got the Jewish calendar. I got a lot of problems with that. I got a lot of problems with that, and we're not going to.
All right, let's leave that be then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's Rabbi Yossi changed the dates. After Simon Bar Kokhba was found out not to be the Messiah, the chronology that Rabbi Yossi used survived and continued to be used by all the genome and sages throughout history until it's passed down to us today.
Yeah, okay, good. Thank you. I didn't know that. Rabbi Yoshi
in the Seder Olam.
Okay. Well, you see also in the Seder HaDorot, and that's a little later than, in fact, I've got the Seder Olam at home. That's would be a good place to look.
You can look there. But you don't see where he changed the date. You don't see it when he doesn't say, I'm changing the dates here. It's a hard figure out. So those dates continue down to our time. And today, what year are we in today? 77, is that right? According to the Jews?
780 or something.
780.
Well, you all can quit using that calendar because it's wrong.
Oh, no. Yeah, he was just asking what year it is. But that's what they're saying. It's 5780. Yeah.
5780. Okay. So when I do the chronology from Adam to where we are now, I'm saying that the year is 5755 right now. And there's a difference of 76 years, not 240, but 76. So there's where I have a problem with this 240-year understanding, because you miss the boat when you go there. So there's only 76 years difference. And I'm saying that because they removed four kings out of the chronology of Yeshua. And
so you mean 58?
58, 56?
58, 55. You said 57, 55 or something like that.
Thank you. Read my mind, not my words. Good. I'm glad somebody figured me out. Yes, that's right. So it's 58, 55. I'm sorry. 76 years difference. It's 76 and a half years because they start at Rosh Hashanah and I start at the Aviv 1 from my year and all my reckoning. So there's 76 years different. Those four kings, in fact, am I writing about that next week? I forget if I'm writing about that in next week's newsletter. Those Athaliah, Ahasuerus, Joram, and somebody else.
Joram is not in there?
Hang on.
He's a pivotal king because he was in the line of Zadok as well.
You're going to make me go and look at my notes now.
No, I'm sorry. I don't want to...
Do you know why Athaliah was removed?
Why she was removed?
Yes, she was deposed. She was executed.
Yeah.
I wonder why they didn't count her.
She's a woman.
That could be also. It could be because of a bad rulership.
Yeah.
She's the granddaughter of Omri. Anyway, that's my teaching for next week. There's some bad people came into both Judah and Israel at the same time through Omri. Omri Omri's daughter-in-law was Jezebel and Ahab, and Omri's granddaughter was Athaliah, who got into the Judah side of the family tree.
And she found the bird of the royal house.
I can't hear you.
You can't hear you.
Athaliah tried to murder the royal house to cut it off.
She did, except for one that was in the way. You're right. So, yeah. So, anyway... Where was I? I forgot where I was going here. Well, we're talking about Shavuah, okay?
Yeah.
So the 77s is 70 Shavuah. Now, we were just talking a few minutes ago about the feast of Shavuot. What's that feast?
That's plural.
Yeah.
Shavuot. There's a feast by that name, the Feast of Weeks or
Pentecost.
Yeah, Pentecost.
Yeah, so Shavuot is what we're talking about when we say the word Shavuot. But why are we not saying Shavuot when we're saying 70 Feast of Weeks or 70 weeks in Daniel? Because the same word that Daniel uses here is used for the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Shavuot. So this is talking about not 70 times 7, it's talking about 70 times 49.
Yeah, I remember you mentioning that last time.
And how quickly you've forgotten it.
Yeah, I see what you're coming to. Yeah, okay.
Okay, so explain it back to me, Jackson. I want you to understand this. I want you to get it.
Well, he's talking about 70 Jubilee years.
No, okay. Hang on. You jumped way ahead. Go back to the simple 70 weeks here. It's 70 Shavuot. It's 70 times 40. 70 Feast of Weeks. 70, because, you know, the other word, when you translate this word in the other scriptures, it's always translated as Feast of Weeks.
So this is not the Feast of Weeks, obviously.
If we look at the one translation, and you shall observe, it will say, so one of the translations, the same word is Exodus 34:22, and you shall observe the Feast of Weeks of the first fruits of wheat harvest. It's called the Feast of Weeks here in Exodus 34:22, but Daniel just uses the word weeks.
You're back on that Socratic method again of asking questions to people that don't have the slightest idea.
I know. And I know it bothers you because you commented on it now three times. I still like using it. Okay? It's a good way to teach, and you admitted that to me before.
Yes, it is.
Who was it? Because Socrates is now famous for it.
It's also Greek. You know, you guys are supposed to stay away from anything Greek. That's of the devil, right?
No, you're not. Okay. God. That's like staying away from anything that's Canadian because it's made with maple sugar.
All right. You don't have me to kick around here for the next 10 seconds. I've got to go to the restroom. So I'm gone for a little while.
Go ahead. Okay. Why don't we just let everyone go have a pee break right now? And we'll come back to this. We're going to come back to Shabuah in 30 seconds. So make it a quick pee break. So in the meantime, I don't have to go yet. I may have to go a little bit later. Anyone got any questions up to this point so far?
Joseph, you can read some of the comments in the meantime that's there in the comment section.
Hang on. Man, there's a whole bunch of them. I didn't even see them. Is there anyone you want me to pick out specifically, Norman?
No, not particularly. Or maybe I'm short of you reading this. Many, many years ago, when I was associated with another group, we're going back 20, 30 years, our group invited you to discuss the calendar, and there was quite a disagreement between you and them then. But
what group is this?
Well,
or I didn't get invited.
No, you did get invited. That was years ago.
Did I go?
Yes, you did. And there was great dispute amongst the brethren and you concerning the calendar.
Which group was this in? Tell me the city.
Never mind the city. It was online.
Okay.
Wait a second, was it? I forget now. But there were two groups that I was originally associated with. And the first one was Wade Cox, Christian Churches of God, CCG. Then the other group was AOE, Assembly of Eloah. Now, this is going back a long time, and I doubt whether you would remember the issue, but you were invited, and there was great disagreement with you on the calendar issue and what you're talking about now. I can't help but notice that I eventually stepped away from that system and started creating my own calendar as I understood it. And I think many people here, we have a slight dispute as well. But most of my calculations are in agreement with what I'm hearing you saying now today. So I can just say thank you.
Well, thank you. I have a difficult message, and I have tend to rub everybody that I've come in contact with the wrong way. And I don't know why I do that, but it just happens. If I use the name, and last time I was on this group here, the name Jehovah versus the name Yahweh, it's the Sabbath or Shavuot versus, which is a new one today, on Saturday or Sunday. It's the Hebrew calendar of 7/6 versus Shavuot on the Sunday. It's starting the year with Aviv 1 according to the barley, or the crescent moon versus the full moon, or the dark moon, or I get to rub everybody the wrong way. And people get upset. And then they start to, because they can't exactly prove what I'm saying wrong, the next thing they do is they start calling me names. But they don't just stop with the name. They start going out to telling other people, Joe's at SOB.
I've heard that several times, Joe. Don't talk to him.
As a favor to me, and of course I know to the folks out there, they'll love this one. Would you mind doing a special song?
Sorry, Bob. We've got to go. But we'll continue this discussion next time. Thank you for listening to Jackson Snyder Presents with the Controversial Topics Forum. Coming to you in luxurious 4G.
Arise, O El, arise, O Yah, arise, arise, lift up your head. O El, all the poor ones, all the dear ones, all the needy, they need you now. Arise! arise, oh Yah, arise, oh El, arise, arise, bring up your fist, oh Yah, in compassion, save the orphan, help the widow, oh surely you'll arise, Father Yahweh, oh surely you'll arise, arise, arise.